Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right. Well, let's get started with prayer tonight, because I think that's always a great way to start. Father, we thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with the opportunity to come and to worship you here in your house, Father. We can freely come and worship. We can come, Father, into your presence. You've made the way. You've brought us back to you, Father, and we don't take that lightly. That's not something we just throw to the side, Father. That is our focal point. We are here to worship you, Father. We're here to spend time with you, to hear from your word, to receive from you, Father. And I thank you that in this service, you are moving and you are able to bring your word forth, Father, that I would just be your mouthpiece tonight. So we welcome you here, Father. We just invite you to continue moving in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I'm just going to take things really slow tonight. Dustin and I, we're going to tag team. So we'll see. We'll see how long we go. I am open to whatever the Spirit has, though. So if we're here till 10, then I'm sorry. we're going to start off tonight with just kind of a self-reflection. It's holiday season. It's the time where we come together with family. We think about the Savior and what Christmas really means. And we have really good food. And so I'm going to start talking about our diet. Merry Christmas. Because around the holidays, it's really easy to get sucked into the, well, I don't have time to eat a real meal. So I'm just going to grab this cookie right here because it's right here in the cabinet and I can grab it and eat it on the go. And it's going to taste good and it'll hold me over. It'll be fine. And then I won't get hangry and start eating the people around me. So we just grab whatever is available, right? How many of us are guilty of that? And especially if there's a plate of freshly baked cookies that you brought from your mom's house, or if there's a bag of goodies that some of your students gave you for Christmas that is now just sitting on your counter, whatever it is, we all have those easy-to-grab snacks that we have those moments where it's just, I don't have time to eat, but I need to eat, so I'm just going to eat this. Well, that's fine once or twice. But if that is all you're eating every day, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it within a couple of days, if not faster. I've been working really hard at cooking, you know, meal planning, getting the grocery list, making sure we have everything we need for groceries, doing one grocery trip, trying to get it all in that trip, and then cooking for the week so that we're not going out to eat as much. We're not stopping at McDonald's, just trying to grab whatever we can. And one thing we've noticed when we do go out to eat, even just once, going out to eat, we feel gross and sick and almost like, oh my gosh, I've poisoned myself. Why do I do this? And we paid for it. So once you get used to eating those good meals and you are constantly putting in the good food, your body craves that. That's what you start wanting. That's what you start desiring. But the effort doesn't go away. I still have to grocery shop. I still have to plan. I still have to know, okay, what am I doing today that I can cook this and that we can have food to eat today and tomorrow? There's that preparation is still there. My desires have changed because at first it was a struggle. At first it was hard to cook every night. Like, why can't we? Let's just go get a pizza. It's $5. Let's go get a $5 pizza. But the longer we stuck with it, the more we saw those results, the more we saw what we liked. We were eating healthier. We weren't spending as much. This is all going in our favor, but it takes work. So now we're going to flip that to the spiritual side. You can snack on spiritual things all day long. And especially at this time of year when we're so busy, we have so many things going on, it's hard to carve out time to dedicate to the Lord. Whether it's driving in your car and you're just having true moments with God, or maybe you can sit at your house in peace and quiet. Let me come. Because not many of us have that. So making sure that you are able to carve out that time to spend with God, those true moments, and not just snack. Some things that we could be guilty of. So we don't have time to spend a lot of time in the Word. So I just have a few minutes. I'm just going to turn to this scripture. It's my favorite scripture. I know right where to find it. I don't even have to Google it. It's right there. I'm just going to read it, and that'll be my scripture for today. Okay, that's a snack. That's a snack. That will hold you over to your next meal. Don't make a meal out of a snack. It's not the same thing. You're not getting the same nutrients. You're not getting what you need, and you're going to feel the effects eventually. So, another thing. Don't even have time to open your Bible. Don't have time to Google anything. I need to spend time in the Word. I know that. So, I mean, there's a scripture on my coffee cup. That'll be my scripture for today. That'll get me through. All right. Or, maybe there's just one song playing in your head that you just can't get out. Okay, that's my moment with God. The song stuck in my head. All right, check the box. Spent time with God today. Again, snacks. That'll get you through to the next meal. It's not what you need in a long-term perspective. So, one thing we need to watch out for, because in the natural, you're going to feel the effects pretty well right away. If I have a whole day where I'm eating nothing but candy and sweets and all of that stuff, by that night, I'm like, oh, what have I done? This was a mistake. I don't know how many times. I was talking to Dustin tonight because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make my message go longer. And he said, well, just tell stories. Everybody loves stories. So I'm going to tell a story, but it's a Dustin story because he's not here to stop me. So, and Dustin's family will know exactly what I'm talking about. Dustin will, a lot of times, eat more than he should at one time. He does it maybe once every couple of months, and it's bad, guys. I mean, he'll eat, and I'll be watching him, and I'll say, don't do it. Don't do it. Because I know I'm the one that's going to have to suffer the rest of the night whenever he's moaning and groaning and laying on the couch and not able to move. So I always tell him that you don't need another cookie. You don't need another piece of pie. You're fine. You've already had plenty. You're actually not hungry. You're actually not. You don't have to fill up on those sweets. You don't have to keep going. But he does every time. Every time, and every time he says, oh, I should have listened to you. Every time. So mark that down. Yeah. But you have to watch what you're putting in because it's going to affect you. It's going to either weigh you down or give you energy. It's going to do one of the two, or it's going to make you sick. Got to watch out for that too. But spiritually, we don't always have that right away knowledge. We don't always have that immediate feeling of, oh, I've been snacking too much. I've not had a good meal in a while. We don't always get that. Sometimes we do. And I'm very thankful for the times when I do get that catch in my spirit of, wait a minute, something's not right. Unfortunately, a lot of times it takes getting hit by a storm and getting leveled before you realize, oh gosh, I have really been letting things slide. That's why this could happen, because I've not been building up my guard. I've not been preparing. I've not been putting in the time to do that meal prep and make sure I have everything I need and make sure I have the time to do what I need to keep myself spiritually healthy. And that's what we want to be on guard for. because nobody wants to be leveled. Nobody wants to wake up like Samson with their hair cut and not even notice that the presence is gone. We don't want to be that person. So we're going to start by taking a look at ourselves. What are we putting in? What is coming out? Are we building up our faith? Are we staying on top of that? Are we building ourselves up and strengthening ourselves? Are we eating those good, hearty meals? Or are we snacking? Are we just getting by? Are we just doing the bare minimum to check the box of, yeah, I prayed today. Yeah, I read my Bible. I read two scriptures. Bonus, right? Because that's sometimes what we end up doing, and especially with today's society pulling us in that direction of, it's just for appearances. Let me open my Bible and set my coffee cup right here. It's right by the window where the lighting's perfect, and I'm going to take a picture of it. And I spent 30 minutes setting it up and 2 minutes reading the Bible. Come on, that's our society today. I need to make the appearance of being a Christian. I need to have the appearance of reading the Bible. I need to have the appearance of doing this or that, but I'm so busy focusing on what I look like that I'm not focusing on what I'm actually filling myself with and then what I'm leaking back out. Because your pictures can be pretty, but your life can be ugly all at the same time. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. And we are going to read verse 8. All right, Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I love this scripture, but I love it even more in the Amplified Bible. So I'm going to read it again in the Amplified Bible because we have time. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. They should be a part of you. My favorite is whatever is confirmed by God's word. If it's not confirmed by God's word, do not let it anywhere near your heart. It has no business getting inside of you. If it does not follow this list of criteria, then it does not belong in you. And we have to look at every avenue. That's not just, well, yeah, I'm reading the Bible. Okay, great. What else are you putting in? Because everything you see, everything you read, everything you do, you're putting something in. You're putting something in. So you have to be on guard. No matter what it is, no matter where you are, you're getting implanted upon. I don't know if that makes sense, but the world is trying to put their message inside of you. And it's your job to work and to prepare your heart, to guard your heart, to make sure that you are checking everything. That you're not letting things just slide on in because you don't have time to check or you don't have time to go back and look at it closely. You don't have time to go back and look at, okay, where did this actually come from? What is the message behind this? Because it's not always what's at face value either. You can't just accept things for what the world says because they're deceivers. You have to put in the time, you have to put in the effort, and that starts with putting in the word so that you can actually rightly divide what's being thrown at you and you can tell what's what. One thing I remember from my childhood is mom putting scriptures everywhere in the house. I mean, talk about dwelling on something continually. Every night brushing my teeth, same scripture taped on the mirror. I think it was the, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. It was a scripture like that. Every night, brushing my teeth, that's what I was reading because it's there on the mirror. There were scriptures on windowsills, scriptures on the window, scriptures on the refrigerator, scriptures on the cabinets. There were scriptures everywhere you looked because that was what she wanted in front of her. That's what she wanted in front of us. I mean, think about the example that sets for your children. Are you being a good example for them? Are you showing them what it looks like to continually dwell on these things, on the things that are good, that are confirmed by the Word of God? Is that what we are doing as an example for our own sakes and for our children? That's something that still sits with me, seeing those scriptures around, knowing that my parents are speaking these scriptures, standing on these scriptures, praying these scriptures over us. It works. It's powerful. It has an effect. And they were pouring into us so that the world wouldn't take over. They were pouring into us so that we were already full whenever we had to go out, so that we had something to share. We had something to overflow that wasn't what the world was pouring in. It was intentional. It was purposeful. And it took work and preparation. And it didn't just happen. We have to purpose in our hearts that this is what we're going to do. And then we have to stick to it. Otherwise, we will get weak. We will turn away. Just like any diet plan. Just like my plan to cook at home. If I didn't stick with it, we'd still be going to McDonald's 2-3 nights a week. And I'm sure we'd look a lot different. We'd feel a lot different too. So we have to have these things implanted in our hearts. We have to have God's word implanted in us. It needs to be a part of us so that we have that discernment. We're going to move on to Joshua chapter 1. And this continues on with dwelling on the word and making sure that is what you are pouring into yourself and your children. So Joshua chapter 1, I think you all know what verse I'm going to, but don't you dare roll your eyes or groan, oh, I've heard this before. Don't you do it, because I'll get you later. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It's pretty clear. We're supposed to be meditating on the word night and day. And meditating means muttering or speaking over and over to yourself. You're speaking it to yourself over and over. So you are giving voice to the word to yourself. Again and again and again. Building up that faith that comes by hearing. Doesn't matter who you're hearing, you can hear yourself. Most of us like to hear ourselves talk. Let's take advantage of that and speak faith and speak the word so that we're still hearing, we're still building up that faith, we're still getting stronger, and we're doing it continually. That's what needs to happen. This verse was actually a memory verse for my second graders because I teach at a Christian school. So we get to have memory verses every week. And they actually have a grade for Bible class that we have every day. And we have worship time. And it's just great. I have the best job. And we get to talk about God in everything. So these kids are awesome at seeing God everywhere. Like we're reading a story and they're like, God, right here, God. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But we had this as a memory verse. And of course, meditate, most of them have never seen that word before. So they have no clue what meditate means. And so we have to discuss it. We have to say, okay, well, meditating, that would be like continually thinking about it and speaking it. It's continually on your lips. It's continually on your mind all the time so that it's ready to come forth, ready to come out of your mouth. And I asked my kids, well, how do you think we know what God wants us to say? How do we know what we should be saying over and over? How do we know that? And the kids were like, at first, some of them were like, oh my gosh, I don't know. How would we know what God is thinking? Like, they were really stumped of, like, how can we know this? And one little boy was sitting there like, I think you just asked the easiest question in the world, but I'm scared to answer it because I think it's too easy. So I called his name and he said, we read the Bible? And I said, yes. And the rest of the class just went, oh, right. Yeah, okay. But it was really cute to see that really dawn on them for the first time. Like, yes, you can know what God's thinking. You can know what God wants because he's written it all down for us. And now we're in second grade and we can read. And they get really excited about that. And I love seeing that excitement in their lives and in their hearts because now they know, okay, yeah, I need to be speaking this every day. I need to have this on my lips. I need to have this in my life. And to see that develop is just amazing. But it's a concept that can also be easily overlooked. You know, we turn to Joshua 1:8 and we say, okay, I don't even have to turn there. I know what it's going to say. I know that I'm supposed to meditate on the word day and night. I know it's not supposed to depart from my mouth. I get it. I know. But we can know it in our heads and we can know what the Bible says. But again, we have to make that decision. We have to purpose in our hearts that, okay, this is what the Bible says, so this is what I'm going to do. This is what is going to happen in my life because I've made this decision. This is going to change. I'm going to make time to have real time with God. I'm going to make time to have real time in the Word. I'm going to prepare those meals for myself spiritually. I'm going to take that time. There's a lot of time and a lot of work at the front end of this. But as I keep going back to that reference of meal planning, once you get into that habit, that's what you start to crave. That's what you desire because you put more value on it. You understand what it's worth. You understand that, yes, it takes time and effort, but the payoff is so much better that it doesn't even matter anymore that it takes time and thought and planning. And we have to get to that point spiritually where we're not satisfied with those snacks. We're not satisfied with those drive-by scriptures. Or I looked at a billboard today that said, God is real. Great. Okay. But let's take it a step further. Let's go deeper. Let's not be satisfied with no foundation. Getting to the point that Joshua is talking about here, where you're able to speak the word continuously is not going to happen overnight. It's not something that we can expect to happen overnight. So it's also not something that you should get discouraged with if you feel like, well, gosh, I've been spending a lot of time in the word and I just don't feel any different. I don't feel any different. I am still cranky. I'm still upset with my kids. I still whatever. It's going to take time for you to get in that place where it just comes more naturally as you get in the flow of, yeah, okay, I do. I remember I just read this scripture last week. I'm so ready to respond to this in the appropriate way that that's what I'm going to do. Instead of lashing out in anger this time, I'm going to say this because this is fresh in my heart now. It just takes a little bit of time to get there. And we can't get discouraged when we don't see it right now. And again, society is telling us that right now is the only way. If it's not right now, it's never. And more society is going to be pushing us away from the word and the way the word works and the way cycles work in the spirit. Because that's what the world is. It is the opposite of Christ. And we have to understand that. We have to make sure we are guarded against that, that we're not getting sucked into the world's way of thinking or the world's way of doing things. Because right now and never are not the only two options. And they never have been. Just something to keep in mind. Something else that really came up in my spirit as I was going through these scriptures of making sure you know what you're putting in and what you're filling yourself with was what happens after you get filled, when you are starting to leak. What are you leaking? What is coming out of you now? Whenever the pressure's on and you're getting squeezed, what is it that's coming out? You know, when you squeeze a lemon, you expect what to come out? Lemon juice. When you squeeze a Christian, someone who's full of God's word or supposed to be full of God's word, when life squeezes them or a situation squeezes them or puts the pressure on them, what is coming out? Is it the word or is it doubt and unbelief and woe is me? Look at what happened. Look at what's going on. And I'm not saying we're perfect, and I'm not saying that every ounce that leaks out of me is 100% the word of God. No, none of us are there, but that's where we're working to be. That's the goal. That's where we want to be, so that no matter what situation comes, no matter what we're looking at, we have a response. We have an answer that's confirmed by the word of God, that's implanted in our hearts, and that's ready on the tip of my tongue, no matter what. I don't have to Google it. I don't have to go back to the back of my Bible and look for a keyword and find the page that it's on. I don't have to do that because it's already full inside of me and overflowing. All I have to do is pick the one that's overflowing at the top and use that one because I have it at the ready. I have it in my heart, not just in my head. So we're going to switch over to Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 43. So Luke 6, 43. I'm sorry if I repeat things a lot. I'm used to teaching second graders. They don't always get it the first time or second time. But I'm not going to come out and turn your Bible pages for you. Not doing that. So verse 43, we're going to read quite a bit here, so prepare yourselves. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. We're going to pause there. We're not stopping, so keep your spot. What's in your heart is going to come out your mouth. So if you're not taking the time to get deep in the word, if you're not taking the time to fill up on that, it's going to come out eventually. Like I said, it might not come out right away. You might not even notice it right away if you're not paying attention to what you're filling yourself with. You might not even notice it at first until you purposely look at what's coming out and you can see, oh gosh, that's not good fruit anymore. And that's a sign. If bad fruit is coming out, it's because that's what's on the inside of you. If you're not seeing things come out of you that are good, that are lovely, that are pure, then you need to immediately stop and look at what's in your heart because that's where it's coming from. Now let's continue. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. What you fill yourself with has a tremendous impact on what the result is after the storm. That is what makes or breaks you. What's on the inside of you determines if you're going to stand or if you're going to fall. Now, I don't know why the foolish person would choose not to act on the word, but I really gave it some thought, trying to understand. Because as a teacher, you're always told you have to try to see it from everyone's perspective. you know, when little Johnny is throwing pencils across the room, you have to look for that underlying reason. Why is he doing it? Is it because he just likes seeing pencils fly across the room? Yes, more than likely. Or is it because he has too much energy pent up and he doesn't know what to do with it? Okay. I don't know. We need to talk to Johnny and find out. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, why would someone not want to act on the word? So if you were given a warning of a storm is coming and you're building a house, your house that you are going to live in, and you know this area gets storms, get them quite frequently. Now, would you like to build your house with the foundation where it's going to stand against the storm? Or would you like to build your house without the foundation where it will fall? I don't know why someone would choose the one without the foundation. Except, which one's going to get done first? Which one's going to be cheaper? Which one has that right now impact? The one without the foundation. Maybe the person who chose the one without the foundation had the thought, well, I can go back and lay that foundation later. You know, you just put the house up on the trusses and you dig it, and then you go back and you do it later. We've got time. The storms aren't here yet. It's not the rainy season. It's not time yet. We've got time. We'll do it later. We'll do it later. We'll do it later. And then all of a sudden, here comes the storm. Your later never came. You never built that foundation. And even though you knew storms were coming, because you were deceived by the thought that you had time, you got wiped out. It's not worth it. I guarantee you, if that same foolish person saw the end result pictures, do you want this flattened house? Or do you want this, the house that's still standing? I bet you the foolish man would have picked the one that's still standing. Even a fool would pick that. You cannot be deceived. You cannot be sucked into, again, the ways of the world, the right now, the immediate results. It's not worth it. We can also be deceived by those thoughts of, well, that would never happen to me. That would never happen to my family. Never. Because we do everything right. So we're good. So we don't have to lay that foundation. We don't have things that come against us. We're not that kind of family that has all the problems. That's a dangerous way to think. Because we have to have our foundation in Christ. That's where our confidence is. If your confidence is in your ability to raise a family, I don't think you have much to stand on. No offense. No offense. But being a teacher, I've seen what people do when people are in charge of raising children. When people are in charge of running the household and they try to do it by themselves. I've taught in the public school. I know what that looks like. And I do not have confidence in that. My confidence is in relying on God, in His wisdom, in His word, leading me and guiding me and getting that foundation set first, even though it's not pretty, even though it doesn't look all shiny and perfect and finished. Have you ever seen a house being built? It's messy. It's dirty. There's mud. There's concrete. It does not look pretty. When they've laid the foundation and there's nothing else, it looks very barren. It's not exciting. I remember looking at pictures, no offense, Mom and Dad, pictures of the last house that Mom and Dad built. And Mom would send pictures of, oh, they've done this or this. And she sends the pictures and I look at it. I'm like, I don't see it. I don't know what I'm looking at. But I responded, oh, that's great, because I know she's excited and she likes seeing the progress and she knows what she's looking at. But me looking at it, I was like, I hope this looks better when it's done, because it's pretty bare right now. But that's the season they were in. That's the season that you have to have in order to get that strength, in order to get that ability to withstand the storm. It's not pretty. It's not always the fancy thing, but it's necessary for survival. It's necessary for success in life. It's necessary so that you can stand and you can let the word overflow and you can be that light to the world so that you can be different, that you can show them this is actually the way God meant it. And I know what you have tried has failed. Try this. And then you can be the example to someone else. You can be that light. But if you are not full, and if you are not overflowing, and if you do not have that foundation, and if you are leveled right next to the worldly person, what message are you sending? What message is that? What do you have that's different from them? If there's no foundation, there's no difference. You have to take an account of what's coming out of your mouth. You have to take an account of what actions you are showing, what fruit is being shown in your life. What example are you showing? Not just for the world's sake, but for your own sake. Yes, it is a light to the world, but it's also a signal to you where you can determine your own spiritual health, where you can determine, okay, where am I? How do I respond to situations? How do I respond to people that I maybe don't like, that I can't really connect with, that I have trouble communicating with in a polite way? How do I handle those situations? Am I the person that my company hides because they don't want me scaring off the customers? Or am I the person that my company throws out in the middle because they know she can handle any situation? She can talk to anybody. She's going to know what to say, how to handle herself in all the right ways. Because that's the difference we're talking about here. What are you showing? What are you doing? Are you acting on the word? Is this a part of your life? And not just a small part. Is this your life? Because again, every avenue is pouring into us. What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you reading? What TV shows? What movies? Where are you spending your money? What are you teaching your kids? What are you letting your kids do? Because let me tell you, kids' shows are not always kid-friendly. I'm not kidding, because Dustin and I keep a pretty close watch on what Ethan and Jacob are watching and doing and playing, and I've got their phones so locked up that, I mean, they've got 15 minutes on YouTube Kids, and then it shuts down. But even with every parental guard, there are still things that the world is going to try to slip in. There was one, there was a song that the kids were listening to on the YouTube Kids. And it was on the YouTube Kids app. Like, this is for kids. There was a song they were listening to, and I was like, what song is that? And they told me the title, and I was like, what is this song about? And Jacob said, I don't know. Let's not listen to this song. If we don't know what it's about, then I don't think we need that. If we can't identify what message is being given to us, not worth it. It's not worth the risk. There was a show that the kids were watching, and Dustin and I just so happened to be in the room when the scene came on and totally portrayed suicide on a kid's show. I was like, Dustin and I looked at each other. It's just like, did we see what we just thought we saw? Did that really just happen? And we had to say, okay, this is gone. No more at all. Not just this episode, not just this one thing. This is gone. We do not watch this anymore. And if we hadn't been in the room, if we hadn't caught that, there's so much out there. We have to be protecting our kids. We have to be aware. We have to be diligent about what the world is putting in there, because the world has an agenda. You'd better have one too. you'd better have one that's more powerful, and you'd better be speaking louder and more often than the world is to them. Because whatever's loudest, whatever's pushing the hardest, that's what's going to get in them. That's what's going to stay in them, and that's what's going to come back out of them in the form of actions and fruit. And that's where you start seeing a lot of problems with kids these days, because of what parents are allowing them to put inside and what the world has taken over. You cannot be a sideline parent. That's not parenting. That's handing your child over to the world. Let's turn. I'm going to check my time. Oh, we've got time. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Psalm chapter 19. In order to get full of the word and to fully embrace God's plan for your life and the purpose he has for you, you have to place a value on the word, the highest value. And that's when your perspective starts to change of, is the time worth it? Is the effort worth it? Of reading the Bible, of making sure that everything that's being put in me matches up with the Philippians 4:8 verse. If you place the correct value on the word, it becomes a lot easier because you know what that's worth. You know what the value of that is. So let's read Psalm 19. We're going to start at verse 7. And we're going to go all the way down to 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Going to stop right there. Remember the foolish man and the wise man? They both heard the word. They both heard the word. They were both warned. That's what the word does. It warns you. This is coming. Be prepared. This is coming. Be prepared. They were both warned. One chose to listen. One chose the easy way. One chose the quick fix. So let's read verse 11 again. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want to focus on that last verse, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And the meditation of my heart. Not or. And it has to be both. If you don't have both, you don't have enough. If you're just all words and no heart, it's not enough. If you're all heart and no words, it's not enough. You must have both in agreement, in accordance with God's word, and that's when the power starts flowing. That's when you know this is where I'm supposed to be. This is how I am filled with the word, filled with God. I put it in, it comes out. I put it in, it comes out continuously, never stopping. The flow never ceases. It's always there. And this comes from reading the word, spending time with God in prayer and in worship. Making sure that the songs that you listen to, the music you listen to, no matter where you're going, driving to work, going to the store, making sure it's all godly. Not just, oh, well, this has a positive message. It's a good song. It's good. Is it godly? Does it have a foundation to it? Where did it come from? What's the message behind the song? What were the writers intending when they wrote it? All of this is crucial when you're cruising down the road just singing a song that you think you like. It's not enough anymore. Not with the way our world is working. We have to know. We have to know, is this from God or not? Because it either is or it isn't. And that's something we have to work out. That's something we have to be willing to put the time in to think about. I don't listen to the radio, Christian or non-Christian. I don't do it. Because even in Christian radio stations, you don't know. There's one song I had Pandora playing once, and the title of the song was "I Don't Believe" or "I Can't Believe," something like that. And I was like, in the title itself, you're saying, "I can't believe." Why? And you're a Christian band. They sing worship songs, praise and worship songs. And I didn't listen to the song. I didn't keep it on long enough to find out what they couldn't believe, but they couldn't believe it. And so I thought, well, I don't want any part of that. I'm not going to sing about having unbelief. Why would I do that? You have to analyze the songs that you're singing. You have to analyze the prayers that you're praying, making sure that they are confirmed by the word of God. Making sure that every word that comes out of your mouth is aligned with the word of God. Because that's what you need to have success. So, before the storm comes, before the rains start, examine yourself. Examine the fruit. Examine your actions. And make sure that you are full of the word of God, so that when that storm comes, when that pressure is squeezed on you, you're going to leak the word, and it's going to defeat whatever is trying to crush you.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.